Welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Show, live from Ferd Sports Bar and Grill, providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros in Champa Bay. Now, here's your host, Mike Rickard.
And I know, I'll finish this and I'll pass it on to you, youngster.
Sounds good, I'd love to.
And he walks in the room and all of a sudden Wild Thing begins playing and all.
You make my heart sing.
You make everything groovy.
Oh, boy. Look
you're killing me.
Come on.
You're killing me, Smalls.
We're going to have a little acapella group here.
Yeah, soon. Exactly.
Well, I'll be muting the mics. I'll be muting the mics pretty soon. Anyway, give Rick Herbert, for that little insert there. 727-542-3897. That's Ace High Printing. He'd be laughing here at this. He's been in business for 18 years. And then, of course, Barb at Champa Bay, and that's Barbie Rosenheiner. She's a good friend of mine. Just talked to her husband, John, yesterday down here talking a little biz. Barb with Champa Bay with First Class Real Estate, Gulf to Bay. She brings her Midwest work ethic, integrity, and commitment to every client, combined with her knowledge growing up in a family of home construction success for decades. Her brother, her father up in Lamar's, Iowa. She just got an award last week basically, it's in sports, the Hustle Award. And her energy and bubbly personality takes the stress out of the challenge of home buying. And with the recession news this week, unfortunately, it's not going to get any better. But Barbie's the kind of person that you can count on to go that extra mile 7 days a week. Give her a call at 712-540-3704, 712-540-3704, or Barb with champabay@gmail.com. Now, this next cat we're going to call, this guy's a ball of energy. Hollick's Hitting Garage. Travels the entire country and gives kids lessons, but he's got a tie with Louisville Slugger.
No.
I mean, you name it, he's got it going on. Louisville Slugger.
Louisville Slugger, yeah. I wasn't much of a hitter, as Brad could tell you that.
That's the question I was going to ask you. They probably didn't want you carrying the bat.
No,
intimidation when he came up to the plate.
You probably saw him play.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, submarine pitcher and all that. But has he ever told you about senior night at all against Clearwater High School?
Yeah. No. But off the air, I want you to share that with me.
Absolutely. Well, it'll be a nice story. I'll give you my version, then he'll give you his. So.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We're live on game day. We're just two minutes away from first pitch. Cleveland Guardians and the Tampa Bay Rays. Right behind us at Tropicana Field. It's been a busy place. Going to be 20,000 strong over there. And we've had him on several times before. He's kind enough to join us. Matt Hollick, Hitter's Garage. How are you doing today, my man?
Good, Mike. Excited about the game from afar up in New York. Obviously, wild card implications, even though we're just starting the second half for the Rays and the Guardians. But I'm having a body armor, and I'm excited to be on.
You're my man, having a body armor, because that's who this conversation is brought to you by. And I actually had one this morning because I knew I was going to be out here in the heat for 3 hours in front of Ferg's. But when are you migrating back down south?
So I will be back. My tour, been on the road for about 2.5 weeks. Still have a couple missions to fulfill up here in the Capital District of New York, but I'll be back on the ground in Tampa on Tuesday night. So excited to come home.
Well, I'm excited to converse with you and collaborate on anything we can do positively in the world of baseball between our two organizations. And let's talk about, let's get to the meat of it, because I've been promoting the heck out of it, and you guys promoted it. How cool was your MLB All-Star Week out in Los Angeles?
Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable experience, and you know, shout out and blessed to be asked by MLB to come out, you know, as the member of Hollick's Hitting Garage, but kind of to promote what our mission is that we do across the country with our hitting events is, you know, community involvement, philanthropy, and volunteerism, and that whole experience and what MLB does to provide for their fans during All-Star Week, primarily at this point was down in downtown LA, around the convention center, around the crypto arena, was unbelievable. And then to get on site and know that I was coming in, unbeknownst to me, and they had plans to set me up at the performance training hitting station inside the LA Convention Center for Capital One Play Ballpark and their fans. It was awesome, like 8 hours of just seeing kind of a potpourri of baseball fans from around the world that are in for All-Star Week, and to really engage with them, talk all things baseball, youth baseball, professional baseball, and to be doing it at a hitting station, I was primed for that environment. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, as I mentioned in a promo, conversations with you will extend from our moniker, from the peewees to the preps to the pros, and
yes.
you absolutely live it.
Yeah, I'm living and breathing it, and the experience with MLB, and we're going to be tied to Major League Baseball now and forever. We've been asked to come out and do some stuff with whatever two cities are set when the World Series is. We've already been asked, my entire crew, to come to Seattle next year, and we're going to be doing some grassroots stuff with MLB Develops because of our unique hitting events that we put on throughout the East Coast. We're going to expand that with the power of Major League Baseball and their youth development program to give back to the kids of this community, all the while bringing in former coaches and players at MLB that I'll be on the field with and be guest instructors. So a lot of cool things. Just excited to be a part of the game and help the growth of the sport.
All right, so let's talk about what you do down here in the greater Tampa area for this audience as well.
So, yeah, excited. On the docket right now, and you can go to The Hitting Garage, thehittinggarage.com. We have an event on September 11th, which is going to be a give back to the memorial of our tragedy on that date down at DBAT in Ruskin, so in South Hillsborough. And then we kind of have a secret location for Saturday the 10th. On a hitting event, a large collaboration with a university in and around the area. Mike, we're going to be doing some cool stuff philanthropy-wise for some nonprofits and those of less fortunate, but putting on a really good youth hitting event and bringing in some community leaders and some sports figures. So more to come, but yeah, 9/11 is definitely locked and loaded for DBAT down in Ruskin.
Well, to our audience that haven't heard you before, and our footprint keeps expanding, share your background and how you got to the point where you are, where you're getting people to realize your value, whether it is Pee-wee's Preps or Pros, and your mission statement to help nonprofits through the great game of baseball.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for the opportunity. Yeah, played, growing up like most of us, played the game for the love of the sport, and that expands into my 46 years of being on the planet, but played all sports, baseball, football, basketball, through my youth, ended up playing football and baseball and basketball up until I was 12, played basketball and baseball through high school, played travel ball, and then went and played at a small Division III college, Mount St. Mary in Newburgh, New York, had a tremendous career there, was blessed, inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2014 because I could hit a little bit, and then moved to the Tampa Bay area, started a family. My daughter, Sophia, was the first team at East Bay Little League that won a Florida State championship, baseball or softball, and we started a travel ball program. And that travel ball program got picked up nationally by the Bat Busters. I was one of their coaches, the hitting coach, and we traveled all over the country for about 4 to 6 years and got, kind of branded as a hitting specialist on the fast pitch side, and started the garage 2 years ago. Do individualized instruction, personal instruction, team-based instruction, youth hitting events, mindset and approach consultation, and now having the spotlight and being powered by Louisville Slugger, V1 Sports, Major League Baseball, Team USA Softball. A lot of people are rallying around what we do and the missions that we serve through this baseball and softball, and it's been a fun ride, and we're looking to continue to help communities and players.
Well, the great game of baseball, of course, is alive and well in this area, especially Tampa Bay. And we just had Rick Vaughn, former communications director of the Tampa Bay Rays, Baltimore Orioles. And he just wrote a book, which you'd love, 100 Years of Baseball on St. Petersburg Waterfront, How the Game Helped Shape a City. And great read. But baseball is in every corner, every pocket of the state of Florida, and it's pretty impressive, very impressive actually, as a Midwesterner.
Yeah, absolutely. And same thing, right? I'm a Northeasterner, but being in the South in baseball and sports in general there in the South, it's just accelerated. So, you know, really, really excited, again, Mike, to be on with you and your crew. Continued conversations around helping those less fortunate in our area. And now with the extension of MLB, Team USA, to just branch out and grow the sports, right? Just from the peewees to the pros, it's all levels in between to be able to help individuals and communities through this game. And I'm excited to continue to work with you guys for sure.
Well, we are too. Hey, let's go back to the West Coast and MLB All-Star Week. And, you know, as a wide-open fan, wide-eyed fan, who are some of the celebrities or some of the cool people that you possibly ran into or you had sightings during that? Because it was a who's who of entertainment.
I would say the entertainment sport. That I was actually blessed to be introduced to, and I did not know this going in until I was in the moment, was Lisa Fernandez, who was, you know, three-time Olympic gold medalist on the fast pitch softball side, current assistant coach at UCLA softball, and then was introduced to Edgar Martinez, who growing up, you know, in the 90s, my era where I really, really enjoyed watching the game, even though he was out on the west coast of Seattle, was one of the best hitters of my generation. So it just blew me away. And to have the opportunity to interface with those individuals, it'll be something I'll always remember.
Well, Lisa Fernandez, of course, a household name in women's fast pitch softball. And I have a Florida State graduate who was referencing her the other day when we had a conversation. She competed against her.
Unreal.
All right, man. So what's on the agenda the rest of the day? Oh, and you're a Yankees fan, aren't you?
I am. So I actually took the red eye out of Los Angeles for the last game before the break. And was supposed to land in JFK, be at the 135 Yankee Red Sox game. I was delayed. I did not get into the eighth inning. But yeah, I am a tried and true, as a New Yorker, a Yankees fan, but I am also, Mike, and I'll go on record, I am a Rays fan. I am a supporter of all sports in the Tampa Bay area. Plus I love the AL East. But yeah, I'm excited for the second half of baseball. It's going to be fun all around, both AL and NL.
Well, it'd be nice if the East was a race, but at least we've got a lot of interesting conversation looking at the wild card options between the Rays and, of course, the Blue Jays. But and other than that, and the Red Sox are fading. But other than that, this is a runaway. This reminds me. I don't know what team it does remind me of. It doesn't remind me of the Yankees in the late 90s or early 2000s. I mean, this team is unbelievably deep in the pitching side of things, as well as their lineup. And they'll probably make another move. They just made a move and pulled a Kansas City Royal. I can't think of his name right now. He's hitting .320. And
Benintendi, I believe, right? It was Benintendi they picked up?
Yeah.
I think
so. So I've never seen a team like this. Are you there, Matt? I think we lost him. The world of communication. Well, anyway, you provided me the answer.
There we go. Yeah, I mean, I was pretty sure it was Benintendi, but I was. I mean, sounds like it was a great time. From the little I did see, I was moving all last week, so I didn't get a chance to watch all of the All-Star game. But it was really cool to see Albert Pujols back in.
Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, his return was awesome. Yeah,
that was pretty cool. And he actually was it last night or night before he had a three run home run to win the game. So he's still a viable option in the Cardinals lineup.
Mm-hmm. Not a doubt. I mean, he's putting up numbers. He's getting closer and closer to 700 home runs. I don't think he'll get there, but he's at what, like 650 some odd home runs or 660. But he's having a really great.
I thought it was 663, to be honest.
663.
I think so. I think
he's doing very well.
Definitely up there.
And I'm really happy to see him performing so well. I mean, growing up, 2001, he was a rookie. Him and Ichiro both put up numbers, and so it's going to be exciting to see him in the Hall of Fame. I mean, He's such a phenomenal player. And who else was it that got the bid as well? It was Albert Pujols, and what other got the Manny Machado? Got the Legends pick?
No, the cat from the Tigers.
From the Tigers.
Miguel Cabrera.
That's who
Cabrera.
It was.
Okay.
Yeah. Come on, baseball.
Hey, I was.
I'm going to start calling you Baseball Benny. Come on, Baseball Benny.
Yeah, I was a little bit out of it for the...
He's been spending way too much time at Georgia Southern and all that. I think he's kind of gotten out of touch. But then, wait a minute. No, he didn't go watch any Georgia Southern baseball games, so...
No, I did go to...
You go to a Bananas game?
I did go to several Bananas games.
Oh, my man.
Those are awesome.
I was a huge
Where's
fan
my gear?
My dad has a jersey. I never got a jersey, but it was great going. They would do free food.
If you go again and come back without a T-shirt... I'll pay your travel expenses, and for delivery, or a hat. You're done. I need some bananas.
I will make sure.
Well, you know what'd be funny if he actually got, you know, the guy who runs it and all that. He wears that yellow suit and all that. I would love to see Benny wear one of those yellow suits. You know, that'll be a souvenir. All that, yeah. Come on.
He definitely has it going on. He runs the city there. If you go anywhere, grocery shopping, you'll see him walking around wearing the yellow top hat and all it. It's really cool environment going there.
How many does the stadium hold?
The stadium, because I know it originally only held upwards of 10,000, and then a hurricane hit it in the early 1920s, and they redesigned the field. And now
they sell out almost every game?
Yeah.
Every game is sold out. They're the only team to ever have done that for like the past 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Their attendance is higher than the Oakland A's.
Oh, yeah, I believe it. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
I'd hate to see what our average right now is. I think it's about 8,000 over here.
Yeah, I think it was just shy of 8,000. I thought it was like 7,900, something like that.
Well, then they're outselling the Rays as well.
Yeah.
That is a sad state of affairs.
Well, what's great about with going to those games is that it's very family oriented. They do a lot of crazy stuff, obviously, during those games. They're going to have their standard games.
That's why I love minor league baseball.
Yeah, I mean, with those games, you know, I think it's like on Saturdays they have those special games that they do. They have the fancy walk up songs. They'll do some crazy stuff and all that. But I mean,
that bat on fire was pretty cool.
That was pretty neat.
Yeah. But that's really what makes them great is that they do things that are unconventional. That's really what makes them so cool. And, you know, you're going to have your truest in terms of baseball. They're going to be like, oh, come on, that's a little over the top. But you know what? When you bring a kid to a game...
That's minor league baseball. That's entertainment. Yeah,
exactly. But when you bring a kid to a game and they're seeing that, it reminds kids, hey, this is something fun. This is why maybe I should continue playing in Little League going into high school and all. That's what I really salute about the Savannah
fans. I think it's great for the game because, as you said... It's drawing more eyeballs.
Yeah, and they also reach out to a lot of the local community there as well. I mean, a lot of Savannah State grads also play there. We had Alex Pierce, he went on to play there, as well as Malachi Mitchell. Flash the Kid is his TikTok handle, and he's his
what?
Claim to
Flash the Kid?
Yeah. His claim to fame is he's like the fastest guy in minor league baseball or something, even though it's not minor league baseball, it's independent league, but... That's his claim to fame, is that he's super fast on the base path. And actually,
we actually have a local kid that actually played on the Savannah Bananas. I'm not sure if he's still on there now or what's going on with him, but Dan Oberst, graduate of Indian Rocks Christian here.
Really? He's a banana?
Yep. Yeah, he was a banana.
What's your claim to fame in life? I was a banana, man.
Yeah. And it's funny, they have the banana nanas, too, that go out there and dance it off and...
Are that the cheerleaders?
Yeah, they're cheerleaders. They're all, you know, grandmothers, so they call them the
Oh, nanas. They are?
Yeah.
A bunch of old ladies?
Yeah, so it's the banana nanas.
The banana nanas.
They go out there with walkers, and then they'll throw them away and then start dancing. And
well, and they also have that one dude that's on the team that's he's a male ballerina. You seen that cat?
The guys that'll dance and do all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah, it does just splits the whole rigmarole.
Yeah, they definitely have some crazy talent, some great gimmicks to get people in the stands. They have banana beer as well.
Yeah.
Beer that's flavored like bananas. And that definitely gets a lot of people going, gets a lot of people to show up to the games.
How long a drive is it?
From here, it's about, it's 5.5-6 hours to Savannah.
Mm-hmm. When's the season end? I got my brain going now.
Season ends. I'm not too sure, but I know they do have, probably August.
Late August.
Running out of time. If nothing else, next year... We got to go up there and do a remote.
I'd love to. I love going up to.
Or I'll just send you up. Your stomping grounds, and
I'll call
you'll
in.
You'll be on one
call
end.
Call in, yeah.
And we'll do the show live from the Bananas. Maybe we get a little love from them.
Yeah, another event that's going on right now up in Atlantic City is the National Card Show. That's getting record attendance right now. And right now they have a 1951 Topps Mickey Mantle card.
Let me guess.
Wow.
$2 million.
No shot. It is going expected to sell for at auction for $10 million.
Number seven for $10 million.
It's graded an SGC.
Alex probably has a couple of those at home.
An SGC 9.5, and they're expecting it to sell for $10 million. That would be the most expensive sports card ever, and also the most expensive sports item ever if it goes for $10 million. Wow.
Why don't you take your collection up there?
My
going back to the 90s.
It ain't quite worth that much, but it is very excited to see that because this will outpace the Honus Wagner card that sold last year. It was an SGC 3, which sold for upwards of $4 million. So this is definitely going to outpace it and definitely bring in a lot.
So besides a historian, you're also a
card collector.
Card collector.
Yeah. There is a Mickey Mantle in the set that I'm putting together, the 1953 Topps set.
You have a Mickey Mantle?
I do not have a Mickey Mantle, but he is part of the set. And that card is very expensive. It's probably the most expensive card in the set.
If you would have won that lottery, but somebody already beat you.
In Illinois, I think it's where. Is it in Illinois who won it?
Yeah, I mean,
Illinois, not always. You sound like from the South.
Illinois.
I'm from Des Moines.
Ray's got a home run, sorry.
People call Des Moines.
They just get a home run, the Rays?
Brandon Lowe did, yeah.
Hey, how about that? Love to see that with the Rays. Finally starting to put some runs on the board. I love to hear it. See it.
You're listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, where they've been serving Champa Bay for 29 years. We're coming up on our 30th anniversary. I'm Mike Ricker, along with my duo of youth and intelligence, Ben Botham, and, of course, Brad Richardson, the birthday boys here in August. I think the old man's going to have to be buying some coldies here next weekend. I'm going to have to buckle down and bring my piggy bank.
Yeah. Well, I would like to bring up old Mike Trout if we're speaking about old men on the baseball field.
Oh.
How about,
what's the deal with his back?
That's what I was just about to say, his back problems. His trainer, Mike Frostad, told The Athletic that Trout, he's 30 years old now, is dealing with a pretty rare condition that is called costovertebral dysfunction at his C5 vertebrae. I'm no doctor, but that does not sound good.
No.
I have been a skeptic of Mike Trout for a while. I've thought that he's a little bit overrated. I know, call it a hot take.
He's a cynic.
I know, yeah.
No. I think there's
Is there anything positive?
No, I think there's a lot of really good ball players, and I think Mike Trout is probably one of the best, if not the best, ball player in our generation. But some of the people that talk about Mike Trout make it sound like he is the greatest to ever play the sport, and I think that is just absolutely false. I mean,
I wouldn't go there.
I know, but you look at the guy's stats. Trout, his career, he has 1,495 hits, so he's not going to get to 3,000 hits.
No.
He has 334 home runs, and now with his new diagnosis for
not getting to 500.
I don't think he's getting to 500 because I really only think he has 5 more years of his career, especially with such a significant diagnosis. And he's batting 303. So with his continued decline, which is going to happen because of injuries, do you think he's going to be able to keep a 300 batting average?
All right, you know, we call him Baseball Benny, you know, the bottom line in baseball.
Yeah.
Now, Doomsday Ben.
No.
Doomsday. He already took care of KK. KK.
Yeah, exactly.
He's done.
Chased him out.
Now
yeah.
Trout's done.
He also doesn't have a ring. And now I know rings aren't everything. You have Ty Cobb, Ted Williams, Henry.
Yeah, no. God.
All this that is don't, tough company,
they,
man.
They all don't have rings, and they're the greats. But I'm just saying, for the discussion to have Mike Trout as one of the greats, and I don't even think he's going to hit 500 home runs. I don't think he's going to end his career with a 300 batting average. If he doesn't do that, Mike Trout is not a Hall of Famer.
Well, this is brought to you by Hamilton Funeral Parlor, where he puts a lot of careers to
coffin.
I'm just saying.
Nail him shut, Benny boy.
Can you guys disagree with me there? I mean, if Mike Trout can't.
I never said it. I never thought. I thought he was a tremendous athlete. You know, he was a multi-sport athlete in high school. I thought he had incredible skills. But first of all, he played for the Angels. And unfortunately, you know, we don't see a lot of him because it's on the West Coast in our late games.
See, but the Angels had or have Shohei Ohtani. They had Albert Pujols. How do you not get the job done?
Well, the Angels have been.
And they had Joe Maddon.
From an owner. But that was on the owners. That was on the owners. And Joe Maddon, I think, was relieved to get out of that situation.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, we just got done interviewing Rick Vaughn, and he now runs the foundation for Joe Maddon, so we'll have to get his perspective on it.
And I love Joe Maddon. I was sad to see him go here with the Rays.
You think I wasn't sad to see him leave the Cubs?
Exactly.
One of the greatest days of being involved in the Cubs organization, when they made that announcement, I love the Ricketts family. They're out of Omaha, Nebraska, and they did what the Tribune would never do, pour money into it, and now look where the Cubs are right now. And we got a great farm system, but to run Joe Maddon off?
Yeah.
Did they run him off? I can't remember. The Angels made him an offer he couldn't really refuse.
So he left the Rays, and I think it was only a couple $1 million difference when he went to the Cubs. And then I don't know what the conditions were for him leaving the Cubs, but I do know that him with the Cubs.
I can't remember. We got to figure that one out.
He was kind of handed that team. I will say that. They had a lot going for them before Joe Maddon got to the Cubs.
They certainly did. Yeah.
So, I mean, not trying to take away anything from Joe Maddon. But that I don't really think that was his team, and I think maybe him going with the Angels.
That happens a lot. John Gruden.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, the Buccaneers. Yeah, it's Dungy's team. Bottom line.
Not trying to take away anything from him, but I do think with him going to the Angels, I think he was expecting maybe that was going to be his team. He was going to start something new. They did have Shohei Ohtani coming in, and Shohei Ohtani is the best player in the game right now. Without a doubt, in my opinion, he is the most electric player in the game, and the Angels. I don't know what they're expecting. Do they just blow up the whole franchise, get rid of him, get rid of Mike Trout, get rid of everybody, and just start fresh? Awesome. What do you think they should do?
I mean, that's one way to do it. I mean, yeah, I mean, we've seen that with different teams in the past. They've gone through and said, okay, we're just going to, you know, if we don't want to be here, we're just going to slash the budget, and we're not going to pay all these millions for this player to stay on.
It's not happening. We're just that close to the deadline. This is a lengthy negotiation topic because of his star power. They're still getting a lot of butts in the seats. They're getting a lot of eyeballs watching because
you're dedicated.
Just because, regardless of their record, just because of Ohtani. So this segment, B&B, Brad and Ben talking baseball and any topic, is brought to you by Coors Light and the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. As we break things down, we will shift gears here in about 5 minutes. We're going to talk some more high school football with Shelton Cruz. He's the head of the Florida High School Coaches Association. He's been traveling the state, a lot of media days as football gets ready to kick off. In fact, on August 8th, you have another job, I say. August 8th at 8 a.m., down here at Ferg's is Pinellas County Media Day with Varsity Sports Network.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be down here, and I'll be trying to pull the coaches and run Varsity Sports Network out and see what happens then. But all right, so you've got two down. Who do you want to put? Let's have a triple a day. Who do you want to put the hex on? One other person.
Well, I don't want to put the hex on anybody, but I do.
But you're doing it.
Yeah, yeah. He's already done that with Trout.
Proof's in the pudding.
Yeah, God.
KK's done.
KK's done. Now Trout. Jeez, Benny.
No.
Okay, who's number three?
Number three. Who do I see?
The Grim Reaper.
Okay, I will.
Comes to the airwaves.
All right. How about, now this is a player that I'm actually all for. He's over in Seattle, and Mr. J-Rod over there. He is something. I think that he is going to be a dominant player for years.
No, he was incredible. Home run derby?
Yeah, I thought he was going to say Aaron Judge, but hey, okay.
No, not Aaron. Aaron Judge strikes out far too much. Him and...
You're going to badmouth Aaron Judge?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? Have you seen... Have you seen that ball player? He strikes out. He's on record. He's on pace to break the all-time strikeout record. Him and his little buddy, his big buddy over there. I shouldn't say little buddy. Son of a gun. His name dropped right from my mind.
So angry he forgot.
I am so angry.
He was in the All-Star game?
Yeah.
He was the MVP of the All-Star game.
The big hitter for the Yankees.
He was the MVP.
I know. I can't. My mind.
You're disappointing me. Get to the.
I'm disappointed. My mind is blanking. What? You know who I'm talking about for the Yankees.
Well, it doesn't matter. He doesn't want your hex. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Aaron Judge and holy moly, why can't I remember?
Begins with an S.
He came from
GS.
Juan Carlos Stanton. Yeah. Oh my lord. Yeah, why can I remember that?
Who lived in L.A. and he was the MVP. It was a great story in the All-Star game.
No, the two of them strike out far too often.
Do you think the fans in New York care?
No, they don't care.
Those home runs sail out of there.
Home runs are boring. Home runs are boring.
Says a pitcher. Yeah.
But here's the thing. You know, one thing I've seen more now.
As a pitcher.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course they are. Yeah. As you put your head down and turn your back.
Oh, home
but you
runs
know,
are
But
gone.
You know what? I'll say this. You know, one thing that probably ticks off a pitcher more is a bunt. And that's one thing I've been seeing more now than any game.
I am so happy to see players bunting right now.
Yeah, I think
okay.
it's...
Okay, so yeah.
I think it's been the fabric of the game forever, and I think they got away for it because everybody's swinging for the fences.
Swinging for the fences is the most... I don't care if that's the most hot take I've ever had. They are so dull. A one-run home run not only kills the momentum, but gives the pitcher a new life. The pitcher is A-okay after that because now it doesn't matter. There's nobody on the bases. It's a restart. It's a refresh. There's no reason to say that home runs are the greatest thing ever and that all these young kids want to see home runs. No. What you want to see is a guy string together a couple hits, get it going. It creates momentum. It rocks the pitcher, and it's way more fun as a spectator to see it hit after hit after hit instead of strikeout, 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 and then one big home run. Oh, my God.
Now, if he had a couple beverages on it, he'd really be on his bandwagon.
Oh, God.
Well, thank you, Ben, for your positive input today on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. He just put four careers in the tank. All right.
So now we need to give him some tape to put over his mouth. I brought
some positivity with J-Rod. I think J-Rod is a stud, and he is going to last a very long time.
There he goes, defending himself.
We'll leave it
again.
There. Okay. One positive thing in the high school scene before we get a hold of Shelton that you were thinking about. As the season, they start practice tomorrow in Pinellas County.
Yes.
And Hillsborough County as well.
Yep. Yeah, they're starting it tomorrow and all that. First opening. First game of the season for every team is going to be August 19th.
And that's an exhibition, though, right?
That's usually, preseason. Yeah, preseason. But, I mean, I always count preseason as part of the regular.
I had never heard of such a thing being from up north. Preseason high school game.
Yeah.
And typically, they're pretty competitive games.
Depends. It depends on the team. Usually, they try to have an equal matchup with both of them. Sometimes, they'll bring a team in, and what they'll do is that the first half of the game, they'll start their main starters in, and then they'll rotate in their underclassmen into the game and all.
Get a feel for the game.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, you know, during the season.
It doesn't go against the standings, does it?
No, not preseason. No. I remember the year of COVID. I'll never forget this. I mean, every team made the playoffs. They all did. They all made the playoffs. I mean, it wasn't ranked by districts. It was like, okay, you know, it's not the top team that's like, okay, they're already going to be in the districts. No, it's the top two, excuse me. No, it was every team made it, and it was just a single elimination process that it always was before they moved into states. But you know, they wanted to keep things fair, obviously. So,
you know, I had the Northeast High head coach, Sean Davis, and five of his seniors down 2 weeks ago. And he was talking about, you know, they had a nice year, the year before, 9-1.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about setting the schedule this year, and I was taken aback for the fact that teams didn't want to play him that would have embraced him in the past because they had such success, and I didn't know that you could decline a game.
Yep.
Who sets the schedules? The coaches?
Yeah, most of the time the schedule, the coaches. The athletic director really doesn't get involved that much.
What about districts? Don't you have a?
You have your set ones for districts.
That's what I didn't understand.
Yeah, the set ones for districts.
So the ones outside of district.
Yeah, you can decline those.
Are the games that you establish yourself? So I'm with Boca Ciega and I want to play Seminole. Mm-hmm. So I call the coach and say, hey.
Yeah,
you guys got an open date on September 10th.
Yeah, they could do that. I mean, even if there's like a rain delay and all, and it's not, again, if it's not a district thing, they can do that. They can absolutely say, hey, you know, this is a bye week for this team. We play. They can, you know, work something out and go from there. So as long as they can honor the bye week, they can do that. So
that was unusual for me because in Iowa, the high school association establishes it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they set the schedule for the schools, and yeah, that's bizarre.
Yeah,
set their own.
And the way I look at that too is a lot of times, especially I know this is with baseball and all, when you have you know, you play certain teams in your district, you know, they're not strong teams. You're always going to know who the top team is going to be. And as we talked about in the past with standings, it all, you put a good team in there, it really challenges the other team. It will affect their standings. Of course, going to going into regionals, that really will affect it and all. And that's where I always say you got to have a challenge with any team that you have outside of districts, because you can really see, okay, well, you have this guy who's a QB. Is he going to be college material or is he just good in high school?
So. Gotcha. Well, this gentleman knows more in his pinky than we know, and he's Shelton Cruz, and he's kind enough to join us here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. How are you, Shelton?
Hello.
How are you, my friend?
Doing fine. How about you?
Not too shabby. It's a little sultry. We're down here across from Tropicana Field, where the Rays and the Cleveland Guardians are playing, so it's a pretty active day. But you've been active as you get ready to...
You're breaking up. Hang on. Keep going through a dead area, but hang on a second. Get to where... I'm getting better reception now.
You've been a busy man traveling the state.
Hello?
Can you hear me now, Shelton? Hello? I'm gonna hang up and call you back and see if we can pick you up. Sounds like he's maybe traveling, fellas.
Possibly.
Yeah. Moving around the state?
I think he's somewhere in the state. He's out of Tallahassee.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Up in the old state capital.
Mm-hmm.
We remember we used to go on a field trip up there every year.
Oh, yeah.
Or not every year.
Well, yeah,
it
would usually be Tallahassee, and sometimes you guys went to Auburndale. Well, your guys' senior trip was what for baseball?
For baseball we went to, what was it?
It's the Seminole High School we're talking
about. Yeah, for Seminole High School we went down.
Winter Haven.
Was it Winter Haven?
Yeah, because I know one time that the team went to Auburndale, but I know there was one time I thought they would go to Winter Haven.
Okay. I know that was our overnight trip. That's usually the overnight trip,
yeah.
Yeah. No, we went to Venice. We played Venice.
Venice, okay. Yeah, because I know it's usually Winter Haven, Venice, or even Auburndale and all that. Because I know, I think it was two or three years ago when their last overnight trips, it was up to Tallahassee where they played, and then they also went to a Florida State game. So.
Yeah, no, we went to Venice, and Venice was very good. I actually pitched in that game.
It's Venice. That's all I'm going to say.
We would have beat Venice, too, if there weren't for a couple errors.
Ooh, going in.
And hey, Ray score,
3-0.
With, what was that, Taylor Walls?
Yeah, Taylor Walls, yeah. Play.
Let's try this again, fellas. Hopefully we've got Shelton with us. Shelton, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir, sure can.
There
perfect.
We go.
Well, Shelton Cruz, kind enough to join us. I know, talking to Barry Smith, you've been traveling all around the state. And he and I actually went Thursday night to the Hillsboro High coaches and officials get together over at... J.C. Newman Cigar Factory, and that was a lot of fun as these coaches prepare, but active time of year for you, my friend.
Yes, sir. It's not real busy in the office, and this is the time to be out because, you know, with different things going on.
Well, so describe to the audience, we're in a three-county audience down here, what your role is, and how long you've been doing this for the state of Florida?
All right. Well, I'm starting my 13th year. Prior to that, I was a 29-year high school football coach. The Florida Athletic Coaches Association was founded in 1936. I'm just the fourth executive director in our history. My predecessor did this job for 32 years. And I won't make 32, I can promise you that. But, you know, when I took over, I gave him a 15-year commitment, and I'm getting close to it. But basically, we represent the coaches. We provide four coaching clinics a year, 8 all-star games and 9 sports. We manage a membership of almost 6,000 and run the office. It's me and my wife. She's my administrative assistant. And I try to go where coaches are, regardless of what sport it is. And you know, right now it's leading into the fall, so I'm more geared towards fall sports right now. Excuse me. But that's basically it. I mean, it's we have, you know, starting up about September, from September to January, to our spring sports clinic and Hall of Fame induction. It'll be fast paced and plenty of stuff to do. And then right after that, we'll get 2 or 3 weeks off, and then we hit about 3 or 4 really fast paced weeks. And then you deal with spring break, and then from about April 1st to June is another fast-paced time for us, you know, with different all-star games and things. So I enjoy it. It's a lot of fun, and so that about sums it up.
So where are you from? Where did you coach at prior to taking this position? Are you a Floridian?
Yes, sir. I grew up in Chiefland, which is right up Highway 19 from y'all. You know, about halfway between Tampa and Tallahassee. I went to Santa Fe Community College in Gainesville, got my AA, transferred to FSU in 1981, and I coached a year at Chiefland, and then when I came to Tallahassee, I coached at Florida High. And then when the guy from Florida High went to Guy B, I went to Guy B with him. Left in 91 to be my first-time head coach at North Marion in Ocala. Came back to Guy B as an assistant for 4 years, and then I was the head coach at Guy B from 99 through the 2009 season.
Now, Coach Garcia,
I took this job in July 1, 2010.
Gotcha. And obviously, 15-year commitment, you're coming up on in a couple years. I was talking to Coach Garcia over at Hillsboro High. Are you the organization that is inducting him into the Coaches Hall of Fame in 2023?
Yes, sir, we are. I like Coach Garcia. Garcia is a good guy, and he was one of the first guys I met, you know, prior to taking over, because that spring I'd already resigned as the coach at Guy B, but I was finishing up my teaching year. Excuse me. And I went to the FSU clinic. I went to the UF clinic. I went to the UCF clinic. I went to the South Florida clinic, and one of our members got me hooked up with him and Sam Roper. And of course, Sam was the longtime Seminole coach there in Pinellas. And I met with both of them there at USF in the, I guess they call it the Sun Dome or whatever they call it. And so that's when I first met Coach Garcia. But I think he's closing in on about 50 years, I believe. This is his, maybe his, starting his 50th year with coaching. So
Hey, this is Brad Richardson, the voice of Seminole High School, actually. I remember Sam Roper when he was the head coach there. I was a freshman all the way through senior year. He had coached the team. And one thing I'll never forget about Roper is my freshman year, those guys, that amazing team he had, was one game away from state. And, I mean, he had one of the best staffs with him and all. So I remember old Roper. He was actually also my driver's ed teacher.
He's a good guy. There was, like I said, there was one of our members, or actually one of our officers at the time, said that, you know, there's two people I want you to meet. And so that was, it was Earl and Sam, and I met with both of them. And Sam is now on my board, and tried to get him to submit a Hall of Fame application, but he hadn't yet. I was trying to get him and Earl in the same year, and then we got a hold of Coach Garcia, and he did his, but Coach Roper hadn't, so we will work on him this year.
Well, one thing I'll say about Roper, one of the best things that he did in the county was that he started the Pinellas County All-Star Game. I think it's probably North and South counties what he brought in. You got to see the best and the best, both private school and public school play. So, and there's always at Clearwater High School.
Yes, sir. He was one of the ones that started that, and he's done an excellent job with it. And I think he still has a little bit to do with it, All-Star games have changed. I mean, they're so much different now than when ours started back in 1949, and when he started that one there. But we're still doing it, and still he's still giving kids an opportunity to play, and he's done an outstanding job with that.
Well, you have seen the expansion and emergence and the focus of the athlete in the state of Florida. You know, it's got to be pretty interesting as you view the landscape in every sport. The depth of athleticism just has to blow you away from when you began in coaching and all the tools and all the camps and the 7-on-7s and I mean it's come so far. And you've had a front row seat the entire time.
Yes, sir. You know, when I speak to athletic directors from time to time, you know, some of the things I will tell them is that, you know, you got a big time job. Athletics in the state of Florida is a big time business. We have athletes from this state that's come out of our high schools. That has reached the pinnacle of their sport, you know, whether it's the World Series or the Super Bowl or look at all the golfers just in Central Florida and Southeast Florida. We've even got a speed skater that won a medal from Bellevue. Florida's just an outstanding state, and part of the reason I think is because, with the weather and you get to be outside more, and you know, it's just, and you know, per capita, I think we lead the country in athletic scholarship per capita, just ahead of California and Texas, I believe.
Well, you know, Coach Garcia is a prime example. He, in his storied now Hall of Fame career, he's put 120 some kids into student athlete collegiate opportunities, and he's put 16 kids in the NFL, and that's just one coach across the state of 21 right. million people. And you hit the nail right on the head there, Sheldon.
Well, what was it, a couple of years ago that was it Pahokee, Glades Central, somewhere down that area, had the most high school kids on NFL rosters? Any high school in the country, I believe. I mean, you know, you look at what our state has done, and then for so long you had the big three with Miami, Florida, and Florida State, and you know, that time you had Steve Spurrier and Howard Snellenberger and Bobby Bowden, and then here late you got South Florida and UCF have made major strides in becoming a schools to reckon with in the recruiting process. And you know, you just couldn't ask for a better situation for a high school coach in a state like we have.
Well, and you're at the helm. I look forward to meeting you one of these days before you retire. Come down here and see Barry, and I'll make sure that I get over and say hello. I'm going to be at the media day down here at Ferg's on the 8th. It's at 8 a.m. With Varsity Sports, and
right.
I appreciate you giving me that heads up. I'll be there myself since I office out of here. But I know it's a bit busy time of year, and you took some time out on your own Saturday. I want to thank you for joining us on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection.
Well, I sure do appreciate the opportunity, and, you know, anytime, let me know about how I can help. And I just want our coaches to have great opportunities, and that will in turn provide great opportunities for student athletes. So that's my mission.
Well, our mission is to promote them, regardless of record, and the coaches behind them that get them positively participate in athletics at the high school level. And that's been my mission since I moved here. I did it in Iowa, and I'm going to do it here. So it's great to get a chance to meet you, and I hope to talk to you in the future.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you.
And that's Shelton Cruz. And so Sam the Bam, is that what you guys called him? Probably not.
There were some nice nicknames, and there were other nicknames. We'll just say that. So
it was one of those. Was he one of those old school coaches?
He was an old school coach. I'll say this. I always felt that it was more his team that was really running everything during the. He was kind of the face of the program. He was kind of the figurehead and
the
all.
Joe
that.
Paterno, the Bobby yeah. Bowden at the yeah. end of his career.
Yeah.
That
I mean,
type of deal.
I mean, I remember
it was.
It's
not a bad thing if they have a legendary career and then they got a great young staff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I remember.
That's kind of how I look at me. I'm just a face, and I got you young guys, and I'm not doing jack. And then you get to opine on the negativity of professional athletes. And
Benny, going through the ringer again.
I just have a gripe whenever I start to hear people talk about Hall of Fame athletes, and they try and say that we're in the best generation of baseball that has ever happened.
Well, I love the fact that you're protecting the history, and you know, these athletes are better conditioned today. And the athletes of the 60s were better conditioned than the athletes of the 40s and the Ty Cobbs and the Honus Wagners. That's just the reality. That's every sport.
No, sure. They're going to be more athletic as a whole.
You guys are a hell of a lot brighter than me. And I would take no offense, but you've had so much information coming at you guys at your young ages.
Oh, yeah.
And now I'm trying to keep up. But we had to go digging for it back in the day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you actually had to go to a place called a library.
And you had to do research, man.
I've spent plenty of time in the old library. You guys would be surprised.
Well, I believe you did.
Yeah.
And you probably still would. But again, it's at your fingertips.
No, sure. It is. I will say that. It is a lot easier, even though I have spent plenty of hours looking at the microfilm. And that is not fun.
Oh, no. I had to do that in college, too. So trust me. Yeah. I know that feeling.
I digitized everything from the Savannah Tribune from 1900 all the way up to 1964.
You actually know how to digitize something?
Yes,
God,
Brad.
You know
I am
technology.
Talented. I know.
All right, boys, we're up against it. You can have this banter over a beer. And then you and I are going to, I mean, it starts Monday. We got plenty to start talking about from a high school football perspective, so I'm looking forward to that. You and I have got a lot. What's that?
That's our guest for next week.
Oh, my God.
Anthony Garasicco.
Tell me God to behave down here.
Oh, yeah. He's a mean son of a gun. You look at him, he's 3-0 right now, and he's going in for a title fight.
All right. Well, that's next week. We got a loaded show next week. Go to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connections Facebook and Instagram. The Big O's got it updated, and we'll have everything up there. So for Rick Vaughn, Greg Kaiser, Matt Hollick, Shelton Cruz, Ben Botham, Brad Richardson, Joe Bardot, and Big Ed on the controls, I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Wishing you and your families a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. And be sure to have a championship week.